Translation. Seeing that the Mayavadis and others were fleeing, Lord Chaitanya thought, I wanted everyone to be immersed in this inundation of love of Godhead, but some of them have escaped, therefore I shall devise a trick to drown them also. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here is an important point. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to invent a way to capture the Mayavadis and others who did not take interest in the Krishna conscious movement. This is a symptom of an acharya. An acharya who comes from the service of the Lord cannot be expected to conform to a stereotype, for he must find the ways and means by which Krishna consciousness may be spread. Sometimes jealous persons criticize the Krishna conscious movement because it engages equally both boys and girls in distributing love of Godhead. Not knowing that boys and girls in countries like Europe and America mix very freely, these fools and rascals criticize the boys and girls in Krishna consciousness for intermingling. But these rascals should consider that one cannot suddenly change a community's social customs. However, since both boys and girls are being trained to become preachers, those girls are not ordinary girls, but are also as good as their brothers who are preaching Krishna consciousness. Therefore, to engage both boys and girls in fully transcendental activities is a policy intended to spread the Krishna conscious movement. These jealous fools who criticize the intermingling of boys and girls will simply have to be satisfied with their own foolishness, because they cannot think of how to spread Krishna consciousness by adopting ways and means that are favorable for this purpose. Their stereotype methods will never help spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore, what we are doing is perfect by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for it is he who proposed to invent a way to capture those who strayed from Krishna consciousness. Om Gyanta Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvijatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jigatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubiyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Lord Chaitanya, his Prabhupada is explaining, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, that the general tendency of the Kali Yuga is that they don't want Krishna consciousness, they want material consciousness. And so it's a great test to ask somebody to do something they don't want to do. And so this requires expertise and trickery. In the previous verse, Prabhupada said actually we should find ways and means to engage the people of this age in Krishna consciousness. And this should be our goal. We should be in anxiety how to make a situation whereby people can be attracted. And then we'll always be fixed in devotional service. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, this is the mood of the Acharyas, and this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Just like in the previous verse, he mentions the different kinds of living entities, the impersonalists, fruitive workers, false additions, blasphemers, non-devotees, and the lowest among the student community. Lowest among the student community. The students are considered the cream. But they're only the cream if they're actually studying the right thing. So the tendency is if we have any opulence, then we become proud. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Manampanam Nirvarhat Abhidartam Vai Twamakinchina Goshara. So Queen Kunti is understanding this point that I'm attached to my Janma, I've got a high birth, I'm born in an opulent family, Aishvarya, Shruta, I'm considered learned to some degree, Shribir, and bodily features. And so, particularly in the Western countries, Prabhupada said that the people, the living entities are very beautiful. They're naturally beautiful. And so, they're naturally opulent. They have all these things to some degree. And so therefore the tendency is when we have these things is it's difficult to become a devotee of the Lord. It's difficult to have the proper mood. The whole goal of life is to develop that mentality of service. But if we have material opulences, then we tend to take shelter of those things. And so this is why Prabhupada is saying in the previous verse that, you know, the opulence of knowledge is actually highly esteemed in this age. Many people, many, many different kinds of degrees. You name it, and there's a degree. It's our business, actually. It's just a business. When I was speaking to one devotee in Swansea, he was distributing books, and he was, you know, he meets a lot of students, and he asked one in particular, and he understood from what they do. There's many universities now, but only a few of them are actually giving the real qualification. The others, they get a grant for every student that comes straight away from the government. Money's in the tin. It doesn't really matter how they teach. Then they do their best with the student, but because it's not a recognised university, the employers know that, and they're looking for students with high pass marks. Nothing's changed. High pass marks and coming from a good university. And immediately they're engaged. And the rest of them, they don't get a job. But for now, they've got to find a job to pay off their debt. So it's a racket. It's education, it says, is... It's one thing. Ignorance is one thing, isn't it? When we understand what is ignorance, that's a leap forward if we can understand what ignorance is. But when we... And knowledge is highly esteemed. But when ignorance is presented as knowledge, then it's very dangerous. And that's what they're doing. Presenting knowledge as... It's like, what's the example? What's this? A cobra. I think I mentioned this last time, is that right? Cobra is dangerous. Snake. But if it's got a jewel on its head, some fool may think, oh, I may be able to capture this jewel. But Prabhupada said, no, he's just inviting death. So I say this material civilization, these students, they're just bringing the death of spiritual consciousness. And then there's the others, the blasphemers, many blasphemers, non-devotees, many non-devotees, fruitive workers, muddhas, impersonalists, false logicians. How do we preach to these people? How did he preach to the logicians? Sarva Bulma. Bhattacharya, through Swamabhavan Bhattacharya. He was humble. He approached him, he praised him very much. "You're so learned, please, I've just taken sannyas, I'm very young, I need protecting." So he invoked the mercy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And so we can see Prabhupada saying fine ways and means. It's like we can't lead with the chin, can we? You know what lead with the chin means? In boxing, you don't go walking like this. You protect it. And so if we approach people directly, we're just leading with the chin. So Lord Chaitanya, we have to be a little bit thoughtful. So he approached him in a way. First of all, he made him feel that I'm dependent on you. And then later on he brought in the philosophy. And so it's the same with this preaching movement. We have to keep adjusting things and changing things to try and find ways and means. What's the mentality now? Has the mentality changed? Are people suffering less? Has the movement changed? All these things we have to consider. So preaching's not easy. It's easy to carry on doing the same thing and get nowhere. And after some time, pack in. But now we have to find ways and means. How did he preach to the... what else did he preach to? I forget the names now. Logicians. Who's the other ones? What did we just say? Logicians. The blasphemers. Who's the blasphemers in Chaitanya Leela? Jagai and Madai. He wanted to, he said, Lord Nityananda said, if you actually kill these two, you'll have to kill everybody. Everybody's like that in the Kali Yuga. So we have to be very, very tolerant, very patient, very merciful. Nature of a devotee is to be merciful. We don't see their bad qualities, but we see what they can become. Very difficult. How do we preach today? Who else have we got? The false traditions we've had. Fruitive workers. Do we tell them to stop their fruitive work? No, we engage them. Engage them in Krishna consciousness through that work. There's examples given for each one. For the students, it's called Mukunda. Mukunda was... If you ask a student what he wants to be when he's got his university degree, most of them don't know. They've been at school since up to 21, 22, 23. If they're going for a PhD, it's even more. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. Most people. And so they're confused. They go from one thing to another. So Mukunda was doing that. He was going from one camp to another, from the impersonalists to the jnanis, to the yogis. And he was sort of following every particular... He was siding with each one he heard. And when Lord Chaitanya found out, he was annoyed. And he said, "Tell him I don't want to see his face round here anymore." And he was in the next room. And then the devotees petitioned on his behalf. "He's a very nice devotee. Please tell us if he will ever see you again. He'll see me after many, many births. Many, many births. 10,000 births." And Mukunda started jumping in ecstasy. And immediately Lord Chaitanya said, "Bring him here." So this is the qualification. Not knowledge. The qualification is attitude. And so I've put one or two things down here. So in order to reach Krishna consciousness, what do we have to do? We have to think outside the box. We have to think of unusual... Prabhupada thought outside the box. Everybody was telling him that he'd got no chance. He'll die in the West. He was encouraged like anything. He had to beg for a steamship to go on a steamship to America. He had two heart attacks on the way. But still he was actually very... very enthusiastic. Why was he enthusiastic? What's the key to enthusiasm? Eh? Faith? Compassion? Maybe that comes later, I think. Do you think? compassion, I suppose we can get enthusiasm from, we get a reciprocation, but we may need something else before that. What's that? Love for Krishna. Well, I mean, definitely we'll be enthusiastic if we have love for Krishna. But maybe we're trying to get it. Maybe we're trying to get it. What does Nectar of Instruction say? It says that we should be enthusiastic. Comes from patience. Patience and confidence. If we understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, if we understand the Acharya's mood, then we can become confident. Become confident about our own process and confident about spreading Krishna consciousness. If we lose confidence in the process of spreading Krishna consciousness, we'll never preach. And then we can be patient. We can try different things. Prabhupada was patient for 40 years because he was confident. And he was enthusiastic also. So where does enthusiasm come from? What's the definition of enthusiasm? Is it we jump in kirtan? Is it everybody who jumps in kirtan, they're enthusiastic? Everybody who can't jump, I'm sorry. Eh? I'm not very good at hearing, actually. Surrender. Yeah, but what is surrender? That's a whole question. You know, we may see what seems like surrender, but it may not be surrender. Endeavouring with intelligence. Using our, you know, understanding what we're doing. Working it out. What's my goal? Where am I going? How can I achieve it? Where is the movement going? How are they going to achieve it? Then it becomes pretty clear, doesn't it? If we're going somewhere on a visit, what do we need to know first? Eh? Where are we going? We don't start, you know, packing our things. And somebody says, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I'm just putting everything in there just in case. But we do that, don't we? We'll try this, we'll try that. What's the goal of this? What? We're trying to give out books. And what's the result? What are you going to do when you give out books? I'll take prasadam. No, what's going to follow up from the books? And then when people start to come to the temple, how are we going to cultivate them? So, you know, it creates a whole different outlook on the situation. So Prabhupada, he had that right from the word go. He was working it out as soon as he got the message from his spiritual master. He was thinking about it. And for 40 years, all the way through, he was thinking, how can I put this into practice? And he was checking with him, what do you really want me to do? And then when he came to the West, he came to Boston. And the Captain Pandya said, we'll take you ashore, Swamiji, to have a look round, a sightseeing tour of America, first glimpse. And when Prabhupada came back, he immediately got his pen and pencil out and started writing a poem. I'll read the poem, shall I? I think everybody knows this one. Markin Bhagavat Dharam. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for transcendental message of Vasudeva Krishna. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very fortunate, unqualified and most fallen. Therefore I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands, so if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. So Prabhupada didn't know. He was dealing with unknown quantity, and he completely changed his outlook. He on his way to Pennsylvania, through the Pennsylvania mining and steel industry, he could see he was just completely in the mode of passion. And then he arrived at Butler, Pennsylvania, And for, I think it was 2 weeks or more, he just analysed the situation. He was just weighing up people who used to come to, was it Saliaga Wall, was it, the house? He was seeing how they lived, seeing how people lived, and he was seeing what the adversary is. Well, they're not adversaries, but what the opposition was. In a war, what do they do? What's the key thing? The art of war. Knowing the enemy and knowing the weak spots and the strong spots and knowing ourselves. But Prabhupada, we think we know ourselves. Yes, I'm limited. I can only do this. I've only got a certain IQ. Like this, like that, and before you know we're completely disempowered. Isn't it? We disempower ourselves. But what's Prabhupada saying here? He's thinking like that, I'm completely useless. But how is he getting inspiration? He's looking on the spiritual platform. He's seeing the empowerments coming from Krishna. And so he's depending on Krishna. in the first year, Prabhupada, how did he react to the different things that happened to him? Did he become discouraged? Or did he treat it as maybe this is Krishna's sign? He was in the upper class part of New York, and he was typing his Bhagavad Gita manuscript, and he felt a little bit uneasy about the janitor. I don't know about this guy, he doesn't seem, you know, he's a bit shady. And then one day he came back and the janitor said to him, Prabhupada, he says, somebody's stolen your typewriter. And then immediately he thought, yes, you've stolen it. And so immediately he just moved. So when things are not favourable, we change. If we're not in a favourable situation, then change where we can be effective. Prabhupada wasn't stereotyped. The whole culture was going a certain way. And he just completely changed it all over. He did exactly the opposite. So we shouldn't be. So opposition, adversity will be there, which think, well, wait a minute, I don't have to go this way, or I'll just become like them. So he changed. And then what else did he do? He then he started a suitable program. Where did he move first? He went to Lower East Side, and the janitor was shocked. He says, no, he spoke to the electrician. The electrician came to fix his light. He says, and he was, you know, chit-chat. He says, where are you moving to, Swamiji? He says, I'm going to the Lower East Side. And the electrician says, Lower East Side? He says, don't go there, Swamiji. Don't go there. He just warned him. But he had nowhere else to go. And then he met this Mr. David, was it? And he became, you know, he was out high on LSD or something, and he was threatened again. He changed again. And so do we do that? Or do we carry on? Plodding away. Not I see, I have no vision. That word vision. Actually, one devotee said that to me. He was getting a bit disturbed about the situation. It was at Chaitanya College when I first joined. I was speaking to one Prabhupada disciple. And he just revealed his mind a little bit. He says, he said about something, they've got no vision. I'm going somewhere else. And then a few months later, they shut the place. So this is intelligence. We have to, individually, we have to be individual. What is it? What's that word? Eh? Independently thoughtful. You know, it's not wrong to be independent. When we come to the movement, what happens to us? You know, I was 32 when I joined. I knew how to brush my teeth. And I knew how to do so many things. And they were telling me, oh, wait a minute. This is too much. And then, you know, you're just going to do something. Somebody does it for you. And now I'm feeling I'm becoming like a vegetable. I'm losing the ability to think. You know, I'm being wrapped in cotton wool. You know, what do they call it? Talcum powder. No, we've got to get out of that. We've got to let people give them some room. Micromanagement. It kills everybody's enthusiasm. Give them some room. You know, and I'll give some guidance at some point. But we have to prepare to do that. And when we do that, then we see Krishna working in the situation. So Prabhupada was thinking like that. Anything else? I was speaking to one devotee actually at Saw Street. I'm not saying who it was, but he had vision. Do we all have the same vision as him? Or are we just thinking more locally? And that, we finished the Hayanam and we were talking and he said, please bless me that I can go back to Godhead. And he was serious. I could see by his face, he wasn't superficial. And he was really, really serious. And this devotee, he goes out every day and performs service. You know, he knows where his vision is. That's why he can do it. That's why he can maintain. Because he's fixed on the goal. He's confident. I just thought I'd share that with you. So we have to have that same outlook. Another thing Prabhupada did. Did he engage his grihasthas, or do you think, too late now? We tend to think like that, don't we? Who's doing all the work around here? What do you think? Too busy. Too many responsibilities. But Prabhupada didn't think that. As soon as he got married, then that was it. They were finished. He sent them to England. One had got a child a few months old. They lived in more or less a cardboard box. They were living in a garage. Prabhupada expected us to be like that, actually, to be innovative and surrendered. Not that we make a nice little situation, never the two shall part. But when we take initiation, it means we're not our own master anymore. We do what the acharyas want us to do. But do we? When the spiritual master comes and said, I want you to all start bringing... Anyway, I'm not going to that. But I want you to all start, doing something, and everybody just goes... And nothing happens. And then next thing, it's time I had a thread. It's time I had a thread around me. Everybody's got a thread nowadays. I want one. it's good to be a Brahmin. And so then, what is Brahmin initiation for? It's for worshipping the deity at home. No, it's for worshipping the deity here. It's for, taking the weight off the local devotees, temple devotees, and then we're actually engaging in the Sankirtan movement. Then they can do more preaching. That's only one side of, we tend to emphasize this Brahmin initiation. Yajan Yajan. Patan Partan. Dana Pratigraha. But this is actually, we've worshipped the deity. What's the other thing? We teach others. So that means we've got to get out there. Next one is we receive charity and we give charity. How do we give charity? We preach. We preach. A Brahmin's a preacher. So two aspects of these three things is preaching. What's the third thing? What's the third one? Hey? Studying Shastra, and then what? Giving Shastra. So what's that? Is that preaching? So a Brahmin's not to have a thread and to stay at home. It means I'm really taking on the mood of the spiritual master. Upanayana. What does Upanayana mean? It means bringing one closer to the spiritual master. Upanishad, bringing one closer to Krishna. But if we're not actually following his instructions, I think if we can go to every spiritual master in this movement, and what would really please them the most? What do you think? Yeah, definitely. Preaching. But it's not necessarily that we can all do it directly. It may be that this is too much for us. But there's a marathon coming up. And there's so many things we can do to connect. We can offer ourselves, we can do a month of sacrifice to increase our deity worship to relieve others. We can work in the shop to relieve people who are, going in the shop and can't go on Sankirtan. Have you ever heard anything like it? So we shouldn't have to do things like that. At festival times, we can actually have, how many devotees does it take? We can, relieve the devotees in the temple so that they don't have to do all the horsework. We're training Brahmins to do horsework sometimes. Is it necessary? There's plenty of people who can actually help in that way. And it's just a matter of, putting ourselves forward. How can I help this month? And, there's nobody who'll I refuse. Anyway, this is some thoughts. So, yeah, hearing and preaching. I mean, when you go away from this temple, are we still in the verse? I think we are, aren't we? You know, finding ways to preach, using our loves. But it starts locally, doesn't it? You know, we're thinking, where's the men? Wait a minute, there's some here. There's thousands on them. Bring them in. Then we go to, you know, so we've got thousands here, and then we go outside, you know, of Watford or London, and they're all struggling like anything. You know, you've got a few riasters who like for 15, 20, 25 years have been running an amahata. They make a devotee. There he goes. They make a devotee. There he goes. No brahmacharis come to support them. Instead, they start starting up other centres. They start up other centres, and then they bring them up to the same point that these are at, and then they struggle. You know, we've got to use this loaf. Let's support what we've got. Let's, you know, really think about if we can relieve somebody, for 6 weeks somebody can perform donkey work and somebody can replace him, then it's 6 weeks that the temple didn't need him. Why don't we send him to another small centre and enliven them? You know, just a matter of being a little bit innovative and thoughtful. What do you think? Keep it quiet. So times have changed. We're more congregationally based, aren't we? So we have to think congregation. You know, when I joined, they were like, you couldn't get in the temple room for brahmacharis. And all the matters, you had to go to the back. And now it's completely different. You know, it's all griastas. So who's going to do all the work? Who's going to do all the preaching? What we look at other movements, you would little bit, you know, see, when we hear knock on the door, guaranteed, it's Jehovah's Witness. Or we, you know, we go on the street, who's there every day with a badge on? Elder. What they call them? The Mormons. You know, they can't actually become a proper Mormon unless they spent 2 years in boot camp, you know, going out there and preaching. And so, you know, we're not doing that. We tend to... there are a lot of preaching. I'm not criticising. There's a lot of preaching going on. But I'm just seeing that we seem to be struggling for a lack of engaging where we could engage, that's all. And, you know, it's up to us, if we're devotees, especially if we're initiated, and more especially if we're Brahmins, to think how we can help Lord Chaitanya's movement to go forward. And we can do it, if we're just a little bit thoughtful, we can do it in so many ways. Harinam, yeah, this marathon. Would anybody like to know what they can do with this marathon? I mean, the temple devotees can go out on the street, or they can do door to door. This is another one. A little different. Maybe not so many books, but quality contacts. I went out with a devotee the other day. Doctor. Doctor's going door to door, Indian doctor. And he said, shall we do this hotel? It was evening. I thought, I'm not, you know, I don't really think about hotels much. And so reluctantly we went in. We went in and manager came, Westerner, and then he started smiling. And we put our pitch. He said, we get lots of Bibles are put in this place. Every year they put Bibles in. And they didn't count on, so he bought a book and went out. He said, they also put on this, there's also a place for a display. Because I weren't thinking outside the box, you know, there's usual zombie. I walked out, you know, a book's gone out. And then he said, we can put, we've got some sponsored books, why don't we put them in? So we filled all the hotel with books and then put them on display. And it's all new concept, you know. So, you know, everybody can sponsor books to go in hotels. Then the other thing is, then they're just thinking, they started the brain going, what about these smart boxes? Oh, yeah, there's one Mataji at the Manor. There's one Mataji in Saw Street. We can get them to sponsor. This Christmas, why don't everybody in the congregation sponsor a smart box and sponsor some books? It's big preaching, isn't it? Put them in the shops. We don't have to, you know, it's like, if we think, we save ourselves a lot of work, don't we? If we think things out, then we can do things, achieve a lot without so much effort. Anyway, we'll be getting more information about that in due course of time. Yogis in the previous age. In the previous age, it was a Brahman boy, matted locks, black deer skin, water pot, and staff. And his name was Hamsa. He had many names. And he did what? What was this yogya for the first age? It was meditation. Meditation. And then in the next age, it was same, but he didn't have golden hair. He had a red complexion. Black deer skin, tree bark, water pot, two spoons. This ring a bell? Two spoons. And three threads for the three Vedas. His name was Yagya. So the yogi for that age was sacrifice. And then in the Dwapara Yuga, Lord Krishna himself appeared in his bluish form. What was the yogi in that age? Deity worship. When the Pandavas took Lord Krishna back to Hastinapur after the battle. Anyway, when they accompanied him, they were all the Pandavas performing different types of worship. And Bhagavatam says this is the age of Dwapara Yuga, the temple worship. And what's it in this age? Sankirtan Yagya. So actually it's a Yagya. We have to appreciate it. This is a Yagya which pleases the Lord. This is a Yagya through which we'll spread Krishna consciousness. And it's possible to perform some Yagya if we really want to. So we have to take on board these verses, the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. They're relevant to us. We should be trying to imbibe them. And understand, how can I be effective in this Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement? And if everybody's thinking in that terms, then we can be very, very effective. It's like the Battle of Agincourt. I don't know much about it, but I read a little bit, but just to get this point across. There was, it was the English, Henry V. They were in France, and they'd beat the French quite a few times, so the French were really they were really wanting to get their own back. And so they had a huge army. I think it was, some say three times as many, sometimes six times as many as the English. And the English, when they were travelling through France, they lost half their army due to disease. So how many were left? And then the French started to attack, but Henry V, he used his head. He planned it all before, and it wasn't, even though, things weren't going well, he was still enthusiastic. And how did he win? He positioned all his men in the right place, he had the right weapons, he'd done his own work, and they beat them. How did they beat them? He says their armour, the French armour, was far superior to ours. They had more men, they had more weapons. How is it? This is like the Kali Yuga, isn't it? When we go down Oxford Street, we've got the full blast of Kali Yuga, and you've got a little Sankirtan devotee with some books. You know what I mean? What's he doing? Kali's looking at him, look at this guy. But, it's been thought out. We're infiltrating Kali, he doesn't even know. So how did Henry V do it? It was the longbow. It's a very powerful longbow. And they had armour-piercing arrows, and they positioned themselves above the French, and they just rained arrows on them, and they beat them. They couldn't even get near. There was hardly any clash. And so, we have to think like that. How do I, instead of just bulldozing, how do I actually, what can I do for this Sankirtan movement? And they'll find that there's so much, so many brains here. Anyway, it's nearly 5:00. So Lord Chaitanya gives many verses. He said, didn't he, in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, what did he say? How can I do it all on my own? He's beckoning to us. How can I do it all on my own? It's for you to do. He could do it all on his own. So he says these verses we've heard many times. Priti viti atiyata nagaradigam. Savachapa chara haibe moranam. Yari deki tadaka krishna upadesh. Amara adnaya guru tana hana edesh. In as many towns and villages as they are on the surface of the earth, my holy name will be broadcast. Teach, become devotee, become spiritual master, and teach everyone the science of Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. Bharati Bhumiti Hoyla Manisha Janma Jod, Janma Sakati Kara Upakar. Those who especially take the birth in Bharat, then they're particularly qualified, or particularly obliged. The eldest son is given more of a telling off if he does something wrong than the youngest son, because he's got more experience, he's more intelligent, he's more qualified. So those who are given that opportunity, they should especially see that it's my responsibility to give Krishna consciousness to everybody. Okay, so that's one last verse. Tapyanti loka tapena sadava prayaso gyanaha paramardanam taddi purushayakilat manaha. It is said that the great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of the people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Yaidam paramam guyam bhaktesha vidashati bhaktim mai param kripa mami vaishasya samsara. So this is how to get the mercy, to, you know, be conscious of helping this Sankirtan movement go forward. Okay, does anybody have any comments? Any questions?